Well, hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Going Downhill. This is Wendy.
And I'm Shelley.
Yes, you are. Full of something.
Right. Well, we're in the middle of March break here, so it's been an incredibly busy week for us in the old ski town.
Yeah,
it's been raining, sunny, and snowing. It's been plus 10 and minus 10. It's been great. All sorts of weather. Yeah, so it's been interesting. How are you?
Cool. I'm good. Dumping snow out here, but I haven't been out to enjoy it. Maybe, I don't know, next couple weeks I'll get out there. I'm sure I'll be all packed out by then, but I'm going to give it a go.
Try to get some more soccer in there. It's all good.
Yes. Yes, I will.
All right. So this week, men were canceled because of the massive amounts of rain.
Yes, it just destroyed the hill.
Yeah, that was not fun. I felt their pain because I was in the rain this week. And then we were in Åre, Sweden.
Yes, we were. Ladies were racing.
GS and Salaam. The GS, like Lara Goot, we have Frederica Brignone, Marta Bassino, like these are all contenders for this race. Like Robinson has like been popping in here, Sarah Hector, any of the Swedish like Combe Hill, you know. Also, you know, unsurprisingly, Mo Winkle, Sethersnund, these are all names that we know that would be the usual suspects to win this. This is not a hard hill.
No. You know me. I like my challenging terrain. This had some rolling terrain with, you have to be careful over the knoll, that kind of thing. But to me, it was an overly challenging race hill.
Yeah, there was nothing particularly technical about the terrain itself. There wasn't anything really off camber, just a few little rollers here and there. I have no frigging clue how to pronounce this name. Strotlosbakken, I'm going to say. Start altitude 721, finish altitude 396, vertical drop of 325 meters. The first set was Rudy Solard of the United States. He basically had 50 gates, 53 turning gates. The set was actually moved down for the second run. So it gave basically Italy's Thierry Margaritas, I'm going to mangle that one, 40 turning gates, 42 gates. For the second one, so it was significantly shorter, and I think that proves in some of the results and why, and we'll go into that in a second on my theories, but I didn't think there was any results, the surprising aspects of the results. The top was fairly windy first run, and then it kind of cleared up for second. So what are you gonna do? And those people, who couldn't really see what's happening underfoot and didn't like poor visibility, we're going to struggle with some of the first run aspects of things, but otherwise the set was pretty normal.
Yeah, and it was gloomier in the morning, some snowy stuff going on. Like you said, it cleared out. The wind did kind of stay, but it wasn't quite as strong, and it cleared out, so at least the vision was better for the second run.
Yeah, and ironically they moved the start for it too. Great.
Right.
Yep. Love it when that happens to race organizers.
Yeah, the season's almost over. They'll breathe easy soon. Mm-hmm. But we got to remember, like, they're in spring conditions over there pretty much, right? So they're skiing on like spring snow, which is a totally different feel to the hard, cold, icy stuff.
Was it spring conditions all the way in Sweden? I would expect that pack to be like...
It was soft. Tough. Did you not see the snows?
I didn't think it was that soft, but anyway.
No, it looks soft. Not like 4 foot deep powder, but the sound is different.
No, true, but I didn't expect it to. It wasn't as sugary that you would expect for spring skiing. But anyway, the surface wasn't, I don't think, the worst. I mean, it did groove up towards the end, but I didn't think it was like super terrible. But anyway, so our podium, Lara Goot Behrami, is our third place finisher. Sarah Hector was second, and Frederica Brignone third. So I'd like to point out one thing that I found interesting is that I would listen to two different feeds of this just because I wanted to see what the announcers were saying, and all of them were like, oh, you need, between like first and 29th was 5.52 seconds. Like, that's massive. And I didn't think it was that bad considering, short courses, flat courses are hard to make up speed when you screw something up. So those little couple of mistakes between, you know, usually when you're in that bottom 15 area, yeah, that's gonna add up to be a huge amount of time.
Yeah, I agree. You'd think with shorter courses, tighter times, generally speaking, but it's also, yeah, you make a mistake, it's really hard to make it up anywhere.
Especially in a flat. Like there's nowhere to make this up. You can't make it up on a roll, you can't make it up on a null. Like you
No.
can risk the line a little bit, but if you're then running it too deep with your hips behind your feet and then you're caught with your effort at the end of the turn, you're just gonna end up going
Yeah.
slower anyway. So I just
Yeah.
found that, you know, the announcers were, I thought, were kind of dead wrong in my assessment of why this was happening. They're all like, oh, 5 seconds in between, that's shocking. I'm like, not really, not at all.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot if you look at it, but if you look at it, yeah, it's I don't know. Doesn't matter how far you are.
Yeah, there's
It
that.
doesn't.
Yeah, you make a mistake on this one and you are suffering by seconds. Absolutely. And we see that.
Yeah.
We had some good results for Canada. We had Cassidy Gray coming in 15th, right? So Britt Richardson, a solid run with 24th. What I have to say for
21st.
our, for sorry, 21st, thank you. What I have to say though is I really enjoyed the way that, I mean, Lara Goode's always, you know, kind of like coming over the nulls really nicely. But Frederica Brignone just let her loose. Like she was just so much more aggressive, I found.
Well, she was third after the first run, right? And she's had some up and down results. GS, she's been, well, starting, if you take away the very, very beginning, we've got a second, a third, a sixth, and a fourth. So she's in there, in there, in there, but she wants to be back on the top of that podium again, right? So yeah, she came out charging so hard after that first run. And it was amazing. Like she's so precise, she's so clean, she's so smooth. And what I noticed most about her run compared to some of the other ones were the way she used the terrain when she went over the knolls and was able to push down the backside of them. Whereas other people were a little bit light, had to wait till they get their edge in before they could continue their turn. So I thought she nailed that second run.
Oh yeah, and that one section where she just got that little bit of air and so she could run it a little bit better instead of just trying to, you know, push the tip, she just followed the terrain and just landed easy. Just those rollers using the terrain nicely and understanding when to get air and when to just kind of run it. It was fine. I mean, I felt badly for Alice Robinson. She just caught an edge and she just runs it really late. And her risking it
Yeah.
is usually better for those steeper courses anyway. So I don't think that was a surprise.
Yeah.
The one thing I did find out about was that last weekend, Gritch actually was
Uh-oh.
disqualified for
Oh
bindings
no.
that were mounted too high on her skis, so I bet she's back to be in the
No.
mix. Yeah, as you know, that her there's a binding height limit of how high your bindings can be. This is for many reasons, one being safety and one being just like also how much shade. The more higher your binding is off the snow, the more torque there is, which can cause a lot more pressure on knees and so on and so forth. This is one reason, but also it adds a much better leverage to the ski, so you can end up going faster. So apparently she was over. So that's,
Oopsies.
yep, she's gonna be pissed off at her setup. That is the one thing.
Yes,
Yeah.
she might be.
And so the first set also, I think, was more advantageous, and I think we see that in the times for Sarah Hector because it was a straighter set. And the second one, I mean, she was 25th in the second run. Like that was the 25th fastest time. If it was a run race run, then she would have been screwed. And I think that yeah, that swing really murdered her on that one, and that's why she didn't win it on her home soil.
Yeah, she did win the first run, but she ended up 0.33 behind. So her results, third, second, first, second, ninth, she's looking for that top of the podium again. And you know, it wasn't her best run.
Yeah. I felt badly for Lucic. She was having a really great run. You know, just dumped inside a little bit as she was coming over the roller and booted out and just lost a ski and
Oh, yes. Yeah.
gone.
When you do that, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, it was a good one. So, and I think that Goot for coming in third was actually pretty impressive. I mean, she's really solid all the time. The pressure at the end of the gate, she just had her hips a little bit back, as I said. So like you saw a lot of people with that pressure a little bit too far behind the heels, and that puts and that kind of like usually ends up being more effort at the end of the turn, which is underneath the gate, and it is not exactly where you want to be releasing your pressure and your energy.
Yeah, maybe she's trying a specific tactic, but it was a little too flat, maybe, to
I
get the best
think
performance out of there.
I 100% think that's
So.
it. I think this flat course really hurt a lot of the skiers that are better on ballsier terrain.
Yeah, I mean, she was second after the first run and then dropped back to third, but that is still her 90th podium.
I know, right?
Holy
It's pretty
moly.
amazing. She was happy when she came down. I mean, that's fine.
Happy-ish.
Happy-ish. True
Yeah,
enough. True enough.
happy-ish. Yeah.
Anyone
And then
else really stand out to you now?
I want to talk about Taya Louise.
Oh, yes.
So she has been coming to me. She's been coming on quite strong this year, right? She's
Yes.
got a fifth, a fifth, a 21st, oopsies, a fifth. And guess what place she got?
A fifth?
Fifth. Well done. I don't know how you do that.
Well, I mean,
Yeah.
that's not really the consistency we're looking for, but it is still pretty
Very consistent. She's probably wishing those top four weren't racing anymore. But fifth, yeah, that's solid. And it's going to set her up well for the finals coming up.
we'll have to talk to her coach about that one.
Did you know that Brignone, that was her 26th win, but she already beat her own record of being the oldest female to win a GS, and now she just beat it
Did it
again.
again?
Atta girl. Keep on trucking. Yep. The
Yeah,
way
she
to
was.
go.
I really like Brignone. I just like her attitude and the way she skis, so good on her.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know.
Unfortunately, our Sarah Bennett from Canada did not qualify, and Ariane Forget did not finish the first run. Boo! Better luck next time.
Boo. What did she just say? Boo.
Yeah, I did.
Very nice. Very nice.
So the ladies' GS standings we got going on right now. Larragut, 745 points. Brignone, 650. And Hector at 561. Schifrin's still in fourth place for GS, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not overly shocked. She's apparently going to try and ski next weekend in the GS. Like she's going to call it as she sees it and see if she hits the markers that she wants to hit for her physio and how she feels. And that's really up to her. And she's most definitely going to do the slalom. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, that's all I
Speak
got for the GS.
speaking of slalom, are we ready to move to
Oh, sure, let's talk about the slalom.
that? Sure. Once we thank Vogel, Marker, Dal Bello, Helly Hansen, and Freshwater Distillery.
Whoop whoop. Thank you.
No problem. My pleasure, Wendy.
Oh, of course. Of course
All
it is.
righty then. This slalom again, same hill name that I can't possibly begin to pronounce, so I'm not gonna bother trying this time. Start altitude is 586, finish altitude is 396, getting a vertical drop of 190 meters. The first set was by Switzerland, Denis Wicki, who actually I know. He's a nice
Oh.
dude. Yeah, he's a really great dude. He's probably one of the best people I've ever met and helped me understand how courses run. Like
Okay,
just
wait, is
he
he better than Burton?
Yes. Burton was speed.
Really?
Burton was speed. This guy is
Okay,
slalom.
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so 68 turning gates, 69 gates, and then the second was set by Czech Livio Magoni, I'm gonna say. 69 turning gates, 70 gates. Again, minus seven, minus six, hard and sunny. Snow. There you go.
Yeah, snow was in great shape.
And it looked like a
So,
great day for it. I mean,
yeah, it was
it
sunny. It was nice. But the course itself, come on. I need some challenge in there. It was pretty flat at the top.
I think set one was a NorAm fist set.
I just think the terrain, I think it's a tough hill to get to challenge those people, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so I would love to see a little more creativity in the sets, but also at this point, I don't know what the coach, maybe the coaches are phoning it in, I don't know. Maybe they're tired.
It is towards the end of the season. It's getting
Maybe.
there. They'll just set a basic set. That's fine. Yeah. Did you
Yeah.
know the very first World Cup slalom held here was in 1990?
I did not.
And well, now you know. And Renny Schneider from Switzerland. She was racing when I was racing, and I somehow ended up with her toque. I don't know how I got her toque. I know. I don't know. I got her toque, and my brother stole it.
I'm betting that you stole it from her when you were drunk, and your brother stole it from you when he was drunk.
It's a vicious cycle, entirely probable. Anyway, Marty, what'd you do with my toque? Anyway, whatever.
All right, let's go to our podium first. So we have Michelle Gissen coming in third, Zarinka Lucic coming in second, and Mikaela Shiffrin coming back from injury to completely murder this course, winning by 1.24 seconds.
Okay, well, to be fair, she only won the first run by 0.02. So yes. She killed that second run.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you why I think the first, I'm going to tell you why, Wendy. So her first run, I think the only reason that she pulled off the winning that run was because she had the best combinations off at the top. If you watched her go through any of her vertical combinations, she was so fast and so much more direct and had the line so much better. She read that better than anyone else. And I think that's why she won. Because I thought that Lucic actually skied the rest of this course way better, with way better pressure and acceleration at the top of the arc and like aiming for where she needed to be. And And that's where I think the difference was in their skiing, if you look at the two runs.
Okay, well, I'm going to give some credit to Shiffrin there from top to bottom on her line, because a lot of the other racers turned around that last gate.
Yes.
They do a turn. I hate that. I yell at my athletes when I was coaching to go straight through that finish, and they do a big turn. What the heck? So Shiffrin, she just straight. And I mean, that got her the first run by 0.02. But
so we both have two different theories.
But it does explain it because she's
going vertical. But that's what I'm saying is like she's going, she knows where to let the ski run.
Yes. And it's very important at that bottom, because I think that's what gave her just that couple hundreds. She did obviously a great finish line turn in the second. But Lucic, I think she skied to me very solid. She is coached by her dad. She was in the rhythm really well, but I think maybe almost overturning a little bit to get in that rhythm. I don't know. I mean, she did move up from third to third after the first run to second, but I think, I mean, she ended up 1.24 back.
I think it's interesting also because Lucic is 9 years younger than Shiffrin. I think Lucic is going to be killing this if she stays healthy in the future.
Yeah, she's really come on strong for sure this latter part of the season.
Well, I mean, she's only 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, right? You forget. So, Switzerland. So, Michelle, so she has come, and she's not normally a strong slalom skier, but she's really come up in her, maybe she's trained a lot in her tech, but 10th, 4th, 6th, 4th, and now on the podium in 3rd. Like she's still competing in all the disciplines, right?
Yes. Yeah. And she's had a very busy schedule for sure. So I don't know if she's trying to like something clicked, she figured out something in the last season of training. I don't know, but either way it's working for her. So keep at it. Right.
Yeah. She's doing great.
Yeah. And Lena Dürr, like Germany coming up through the ranks. She's been very solid this whole season as well. And I think she's coming close in those standings as well. Right. I think she's close to being on the podium. Because, I mean, Shiffrin has now wrapped up that slalom globe. So who could possibly also be on the podium? I'm not really sure.
Right. The second and some of the thirds. Well, I can tell you where the standings are right now. So Shiffrin, she's got it already wrapped up. In second right now is Vlahova, who, as we know, is out. She's completely out. So she won't get any more points at finals, I should say. But we've got Dürr. So Dürr's in second right now with 492. And then right behind her is Michelle with 392. So it's 100 points between those two. So they're going to duke it out for second place there.
Wow. That was very Canadian, eh? Okay.
Okay. I just want to pop on over to Shiffrin for a second. So she did clinch the slalom, but she did miss only one race being injured for that time frame. She only missed one slalom.
Yes.
Because of all the weather and stuff.
Yeah. And I think it was smart of her. I mean, if you're not feeling like you're 100%, why are you going to? She's got nothing to prove at this point anyway. I think she came back just because she wanted to finish the season on an upswing and, you know, get back in there because she loves it. But I don't know if we'll ever see her do speed as much again. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she might reevaluate and just focus on the two.
Yep. It would,
or combine. I don't do that anymore.
It makes more sense. I don't know. Maybe she wants to come back, get her 100 wins, and then, you know, we keep on seeing good athletes retiring earlier, even at their peak of their game, like Hersher did. So I think that's definitely a possibility in the future. She goes, wants to settle down and have babies with her love. I don't know. Yeah. Sad for us, fine for her.
Yeah. Well, good for Canada's Ali Neumeier. So she got 19th in this race. Her best finish so far this year has been 6th. So I know she would have obviously liked to have been a little bit higher than that. But she's still ranked 12th in the world in slalom. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is great. And Amelia Smart coming in 20th, Lolo St. Germain 22nd. So really good qualifications and good results. And I think that's also because of the sets and the flatter terrain that we know the Canadians do better at.
Yeah, fair enough. Unfortunately, Ariane Forget did not qualify. So maybe she starts off in Europa Cups next year or something and get some confidence up, come back.
Well, she'll be back and forth, I bet. I mean, she is younger. She's 2003. She's 21 years old. So, and also, you know, sometimes those athletes are just coming off also an NCAA circuit and need the experience on the terrain as well because they haven't been on it before.
Did you notice any Italian names that you weren't expecting to see on the finish list there? And or the start, depending on how you look at it? I'm going to give you a hint. She doesn't usually race slalom. She hasn't raced a slalom all year. However, somebody went in there, raced slalom, ended up 27th, got some World Cup points because someone's probably trying to get in there for the overall somehow.
She may be like, okay, so Brignone doing slalom, yeah, definitely not expected. But the one thing that I also was thinking is that she might just be getting her feet wet for next year. I think she's going to be trying for all the disciplines. And as we know, mm-hmm. like it's a different environment to see where you place in the field. And on this type of track, on this type of terrain, it would be a very safe bet to try for that. It's not like she's on the craziest course. Overalls. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she got to the, so she finished 27th. She got some World Cup points in her first World Cup this year. So that's awesome and slalom. And she kind of got to the bottom. You can just see her shaking her head. And she's kind of laughing like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? Anyway, good for her. She's coming 27th, getting some points. I thought that was awesome.
Well, she's discoing on those sticks. That is for sure. So
we have two going to the World Cup finals. Oh no, we don't. My bad. In slalom. So Ali Neumeier is going, except Laurence Saint-Germain, she missed it by one place. She finished 26th and they only take the top 25.
Oh, she's going to be crying.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. But at least Ali will go there and rock everyone's world. So there you go.
All right.
Yep. Can we talk about some guys for a second?
Yeah, we can. So I have one update also from last weekend. I talked to Mr. Lashley, who's the TD at Aspen, and I was asking about the butterflying of those gates, by the way.
Yes.
And he said that, no, it is not something typically you do. It was a decision that was made, and that they had people, and the way that they butterflied the gates were to spec in order for the gates to release properly. Yes. Also, just that it was a safety decision, and they had apparently three people that were controlling just a certain number of gates so that they would be able to fix anything, or if anything went awry, they would be there to get it. So anyway, it was a curious thing because I was like, really? Butterflying, Brad? And he was like, So that was, so anyway, so I got my answer.
Okay.
But back to the men. Let's talk dudes.
So we already know Matty Feller has wrapped up the slalom globe, even though the last race of the season isn't on yet. He's got enough points that he's got it nailed.
Yeah, I can't find that incredibly satisfying to not get it with like a win and be like, yeah, I got it, but get it basically a cancellation. Mm-hmm. It seems it's a bit, I mean, as an athlete, you always want to be competing at the level and it's like happy to have won, but at the same time, not really how you pictured the news being delivered.
Right. You won because the last race got canceled.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it. Odermatt, well, he's already won the GS title as well.
Yeah.
And so that's not a surprise. He can just go out there and enjoy himself in Saalbach, but I'm sure he's going to be going for the win anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then what about our overalls there? Is that done? Is that wrapped up? I don't think it is.
Well, I'm pretty sure Odermatt got the overall.
Does he have the overall already?
I think so. He's got 8 million points, doesn't he?
8 million and two, maybe. I think you might be right, but I'm just trying to verify.
Well, I can verify for you. Mm-hmm. Odermatt. Yeah. Who's the next person that can catch him, which he can't, is Feller.
Right.
So Feller has 846 points. Odermatt, 1,902.
Okay. Not even close.
So where it is close, though, is between Feller and Maillard from Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
So Feller is 846. Maillard has 843. So it's going to be a fight to the second. Oh. And then third and fourth. Third is Sarazan. And the next one is Christofferson. They're close. 684 and 673.
Well, Sarazan is injured, so
that's it. He's toast. Okay, so there you go. The next one below that is Krickmeyer. So even if he wins, he's only going to get 767. Oh, wait, he has a GS too. 800. Oh, maybe that could vault him up there. Anyway, whatever. So that's where they are for overall.
It's a race for second place. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. You got it. But you know who's going to be racing next year again?
Go on.
Lucas Bratton.
Yes, the Norwegian with the neck tube.
Brazil. Yes, he won't be wearing that down there, I can tell you that. So yeah, his mom is Brazilian and his dad is Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to be racing for Brazil. It's a special Red Bull project, apparently, which is not overly shocking. Everybody knew that this was coming down the pipes. It was all just quote-unquote rumor, but come on, like, we all knew what was going to happen.
Well, he's too young and at the top, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Sure, he wants to go put his feet up in the sand, and he probably had some relaxing times right away, but this is always going on in the background, right? There's always something going on.
Well, he's also got a fire under his pants, right? Like, the guy... He wants to also, he's got something to prove. He wants to prove that he can have his own IP and he can do things his way.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I think, the way of the world, the way it's going, right?
I agree. I agree.
Yeah,
and I think that, well, I mean, in the world of also social media, AI, like all the stuff that are going deep fakes with athletes in them, so on and so forth, I think it's really important for you to own your own image. Yeah. To a certain degree. I mean, certain codes of conduct are acceptable as well, but like to actually not own your IP is another thing altogether.
Yeah, I agree. And there's enough athletes from Norway speaking up about this too.
Yes.
Right? Finally?
It is a thing. So maybe I mean, kudos to him. He did start something. He started a neck tube fad and... So here's the thing, is like back to Collingwood, Ontario. So I pointed this out that like half the girls were wearing neck tubes as they came skied down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And now like three of the coaches are like, I can't unsee it.
I am with them.
I just think when you're going for like honeys of a second, could that not I'm like, I want to see the wind tunnel studies on this.
Yes.
Yeah, that was choking, me. That choking noise. What do you mean choked by her neck tube?
We're not a visual. That's right. So he's going to be racing with another fellow from Brazil, Michael Macedo.
All right.
Did I say that right? Macedo.
I don't know.
Edo. How do you say that?
Edo.
Okay, my Spanish translator sucks, so I'm going to say Macedo. Edo. Macedo. Maedo.
Maedo.
Macedo. With a D on the end? Yeah. Macedo.
Okay, this is not a language podcast. This is, we'll just mangle the names like we mangle all the others. And also, I'd like to point out that in Brazil, they speak Portuguese, not Spanish. So,
whatever. It's all the same.
Just like Switzerland is Swiss as a language. And all right.
Oh, yeah. I did say that. I'm fine. Anyway, this poor guy, Michel,
we'll be speaking Scandinavian Lucas next.
anyway, thanks. So yeah, anyway, he's going to be in good company and maybe he'll improve his training if he's training with somebody of that caliber. With 5 career wins so far.
You never know. Maybe Brazil's going to start to have, a huge thing in the future and Brathen started it all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm still going to watch their soccer, even if they fall down a lot.
All soccer men fall down a lot. That's what I understand.
Yes, I know. That's a problem. Uh-huh. Anyhow.
All right.
That's all I got.
This is all I got. So okay. I guess we'll be seeing each other for finals next week.
Ooh, ooh.
Wrap it up, see who gets second place a lot of the time.
Yeah, see who all the second first losers are.
Exactly, yeah. All good. Yeah. All right, well, I guess for this one, I've been Shelly.
And I've been Wendy.
Keep your tips up, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
hilarious.
How do you not know anything about languages? Like, how do you get away with that? Like, as someone who like doesn't like discrimination, you sure as hell are like painting people with a wide language brush there.
So if you saw the way it's spelled, it looks Latino.
Well, they're Latin-based languages.
I had one hanging out in my office.
They're Latin-based languages. It doesn't mean they're the same Germanic languages. It's not like the same culture.
Okay, how would you say it? M-A-C-E-D-O.
I would probably say Macedo. But I don't know. Macedo. I don't know, because I don't speak Portuguese, but like I just pronounce things like that like almost with an Italian lilt, but even then that's kind of wrong. I don't know. Anyway. Mm.
Well, either way. My El Salvadoran translator.
That's fine, but to assume that Spanish and Portuguese are the same thing is very much not
me. Fine. As long as Lucas can go play soccer, it's all good. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Okay, it's just that.